Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we know that you call us to follow you, God. You call us to do brave things. Open our hearts, God, so we can hear your calling, so we can hear your message and your word. Amen. Whom does God call in this world to do God's work? We have good news to share, don't we, in this work of honoring God, of doing God's work. Who is called to share this news? This morning in the kids' message, I asked them about being asked to do something. And of course, the immediate responses that came to mind were things like chores, feeding the dog, not just feeding the dog, but also giving the dog water, very responsible, cleaning the bedroom, things like this. And as we dive a little bit deeper into it, what are we really asked to do? They were able to recognize being called to show God's love in this world through kindness. What we are called to do in our lives can evolve over time. When we are our little ones, it's one thing. As we grow into adulthood, the challenge gets a little bit greater. So we have good news to share, and as we mature in our faith, we learn how to share it. And it's not just about, you know, going out and winning some souls and then good, check off that check box and that person's saved and there's nothing else that they need. There's much more to the story. There's much more that brings us together as a community. There are many things that we are called to. We are called to, as I have said many times, to speak truth to power. We are called to speak out in times of injustice. We are called to be brave, even when we think that we maybe don't have what it takes. In our scriptures that we heard this morning, we heard multiple examples of people being called and thinking, I don't have what it takes to do this. So let me tell you about one person who has been called in this world to stand up for justice. Does anyone know this name, Bayard Rustin? Yes, a few people? So Bayard Rustin was born in 1912, he's African-American, and he came from, within his context, relative privilege. He was raised by his grandparents who owned their own business, which in and of itself in 1912 was an amazing thing. And he looked around at a very young age and recognized the cause of great suffering because of racism and started to speak out, fighting against Jim Crow laws, fighting against injustice everywhere he saw it. He attended Wilberforce University, which is a historically black college. He became involved in the Fellowship of Reconciliation, which is a multi-denominational organization that comes together to do nonviolent communication work. Later, as he got a little bit older, he traveled out to California to protect the property of over 100,000 Japanese Americans who, although most native-born Americans, had been put into imprisoned in internment camps. Where he saw suffering, where he saw oppression, he stepped in and sought to bring an end to suffering. It took amazing courage for him to stand up again and again, to see places that people were suffering and to say, I can do something about this. So he was a pioneer in civil rights. He was very involved in the desegregation of buses. This phenomenon that so many of us learned about in school, where people of color started saying, I will sit down where I want, where I need to, where I am on this bus. It's not just about a seat on a bus, right? It's about something so much bigger. And eventually he got arrested. And when he got arrested for his activism in the desegregation of buses, he became a bit of a hero. People knew who he was. He did something incredibly brave as a black man, stepping into that place knowing that he would be arrested. But that is not the only time he ever got arrested. He was also a gay man. And, you know, a reality of gay culture, especially in a time when gay people had to be so hidden. In 1953, during a consensual encounter that was happening in a car, he was arrested. And suddenly, the same thing, being arrested, that had made him a hero before, suddenly he was shunned. The amazing work that he had done throughout his lifetime suddenly came down to this moment. And it wasn't just that he got arrested. That wasn't what it was about. It was about him being gay. But Bayard Rustin was not scared. He was not ashamed of who he was. He did not let it stop him because God had called him to do amazing work for justice. And despite being shunned, despite people not wanting to work with him, he continued the work. And eventually he and Dr. King started to work together. And he was the key organizer for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom in 1963. And we aren't taught that, right, in school? We all were taught about the March on Washington. But we were not taught. I know in my history class, I certainly never heard his name. And why is that? Because we are told again and again and again that if you are different, that you're not really called to do powerful things. If you don't fit in, if you are too much of a liability to the cause, then you're not worth it. So you can do the work behind the scenes. Has anyone experienced that? You can do the work behind the scenes, but we're glad you're here. We're glad for what you've put into this project. But don't, like, be so public about being here. Don't exist so loudly that people notice you. That was his story. That was his experience. And he was called. So who are we to also be called? When God is saying, whom shall I send? Aren't we all kind of like looking around to our neighbors and being like, that one, not me, right? What if we're saying to ourselves, I don't have the courage of Bayard. I don't have his courage. I am not from a place of courage. As we heard in the scriptures, there are always people, even those who are very directly called by God, like, you know, like Jesus actually talking to them, say, I am not worth this. I am not worthy. I can't do it. We let our excuses get in the way. So we heard it from the gospel message, the story of Simon Peter in the boat catching the fish. It's a very familiar story that we've heard many times. Not catching a lot, and Jesus gives him counterintuitive advice. And, you know, probably thinking, what does this carpenter know about fishing? But all right, I'll do it. And of course, what happens? He catches like one or two fish. So many fish, he's got to go get another boat. And then we hear from the prophet Isaiah saying, I am sinful and I am broken. I come from a sinful, broken people, I am not worthy of this. I have said things, I have done things, I am not worthy of this calling. And what happens to Isaiah, saying that he has unclean lips? His lips are purified. Like, here's a great excuse that I have that I cannot do this big, scary thing that God is calling me to do. And then this creature with, like, all of these wings and limbs, and it's quite a confusing thing, this seraph, right? You're like, what is this? Comes in with hot coal, touches his lips, and he is purified. Saying, then I heard the voice of the Lord calling, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I imagine Isaiah being surprised in his own vision as he is seeing this, as he says, here I am, send me. And I imagine Bayard Rustin also feeling that call deep in his heart again and again throughout his life, because it's not a one-time thing, right? It's being called again and again to justice, being called again and again to transformation, and thinking, what will it do to my cause? What will it do to the civil rights movement if people know the truth about who I am? And I will tell you what it does. It inspires us. He was not a liability. He was a blessing. How amazing, as we learn about civil rights, as we continue to fight for civil rights even today, to know that one who came before us in this struggle was a gay man, someone who stood up and was proud of who he was. He was eventually, after his death, awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Obama for the work that he did. He was called, and he did amazing things. And we are called to do amazing things. We are still called to fight for basic civil rights for all people. We are called to speak out when we hear and see and witness racism in this world. We are called to speak out for justice. Doing the work of God is so much more than just proclaiming God. That is a wonderful starting point, a wonderful place to begin the work. That is not where the work ends. We are called to live lives of justice, being transformed every single day. So when God asks, whom shall I send? We know that God is calling us. When we hear this call for God's work in this world, sorry to say, but all of our excuses are gone. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. It doesn't matter what people have called you. It doesn't matter that people have told you that you are not good enough, that you are not whole, that you are not called to this work. If God is calling you, then all the rest of those people are just liars, and why bother listening to them? We are called to do the work of justice. We are called to these dangerous places, emotionally, spiritually dangerous places, where we can shine God's love and light into this world. And God's work is always worth it. It is always worth it. So is God sending you? The answer to that question is yes. Each and every person in this space and watching at home on Facebook, God is calling you to do amazing things. God is calling you to be incredibly brave. God is calling you to set aside whatever it is that you have heard in your life saying that you can't do it, and trust that absolutely you can. Will you pray with me, please? Loving Creator God, we thank you for calling us. We thank you for this scary work of justice, this incredible calling that you put on our hearts. God, help us to be brave. Help us to stand up for you in this world with your love and your grace and your mercy. Amen.